the thing. Most of us are chronically online, including myself. It's hard not to be these days, but studies have shown just how taxing a digital existence can be. Luckily for the folks in Northwest Ohio, there is an ever-present outlet for escaping the pull of our curated algorithms, our metro parks. I'm Erin Holden, editor-in-chief of the Toledo Free Press. Each week, I'll be shadowing a different person at various metro parks to see how they are taking advantage of our expansive park system. Whether you are a runner, bird watcher, fisherman, or a mom who just wants your kid to get some fresh air and exercise at the playground, our parks really present infinite possibilities for outdoor experiences. And that's what I'll be doing on this podcast, exploring those possibilities with local folks like you who use Metro Parks Toledo in your day-to-day lives. Because if you want to get away from your screens and back to nature, Toledo's public spaces really do make that a walk in the park. Picture this. In the sweltering heat of August in 1794, a battle was waged amid a sea of fallen trees that were taken down by a recent tornado. On one side, the Americans, led by Mad Anthony Wayne. On the other, the Northwest Indian Confederacy, a group of various Native American tribes like the Miami, Shawnee, Chippewa, Wyandot, and others, along with support from Canadians. Fought near the Maumee River, this battle, deemed the Battle of Fallen Timbers, solidified control of the Northwest Territory, but it also drastically changed the lives of the Native peoples involved. I had never visited Fallen Timbers Battlefield Metro Park before, and I certainly had never delved into the history of the park. I met up with historian and author Dave Westrick so he could give me a tour of the storied past of this significant site. Hi, Dave. How are you
Hello,
doing?
Aaron. Good.
Yeah, thanks for joining me today. So where are you originally from?
I was raised on a farm about 60 miles south of here, near the little town of Miller City, Ohio.
Okay. Have you always been a history buff, or did you come to that later in life?
I always liked history, but I came to it later. My career was in communication. I have a degree in journalism. I worked on a newspaper. I did public relations and a lot of other stuff, and eventually ended up working on history projects.
Yeah, so just writing books. You started delving into writing books.
Yeah, the book came about because of COVID.
Oh, okay. And that was your first book?
Yeah, I've written my entire life, but it's mostly boring stuff like how to do fiberglass insulation and things like that, and politicians' speeches.
Okay. Dave's book, The Battle of Fallen Timbers, A Change of Worlds, is an account of the battle and the impact it made on everyone involved. But it also details what a major change it was for the trajectory of our nation. And not many people know about it.
The subtitle, Change of Worlds, comes from a quote from Chief Seattle. There is no death, just a change of worlds.
Huh, I like that.
I chose that because Fallen Timbers represents a tremendous change for everyone involved. It was a changing point in history for every group involved.
And this is my first time at this park. Right now we're walking through this really beautiful, shady trail. So tell me more about the battle and like the significance of the area that we're in right now.
Well, this is the actual battlefield.
Okay.
This forest we're in dates to that time period, though it has been lumbered. Mm-hmm. They've picked out a lot of over the 200 years, they've picked out a lot of the best trees. So it's not necessarily an original stem, but it's possible there are trees here that were here the day of the battle. Mm-hmm. It's possible some of these trees still have musket balls in them.
Oh, wow, that's incredible.
And the dead, Native American and American, were never recovered.
Okay.
Native Americans did try to recover their dead, mm-hmm. but we're not sure how successful mm-hmm. they all were because it was dense vegetation.
Right.
And the Americans only recovered a few officers and only buried a few. The rest were left. And they're still here.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
So it is a cemetery,
yeah.
And it's sort of a sacred site.
Discovering that there are still remains of the people who fought in this battle somewhere out in the forest really struck me. This isn't just a beautiful, peaceful park. It is also a cemetery that holds great reverence for anyone who's aware of its past. We're at a marker right here that's titled Unfair Negotiation. So can you tell me a little bit about like this particular spot and maybe what it's going into here?
Okay, the American Revolution was fought 250 years ago. This territory was technically under the control of Great Britain, though it was Native American land. There were Native American people living here. When the war ended, the English signed it over to the Americans without ever talking to the people who actually lived here and owned it, the Native Americans. So the negotiations were grossly unfair in that the Native interests were never, ever considered.
And if you could give a synopsis of this whole battle, I mean, like, for people who aren't familiar with this particular battle, what all would you say?
Okay, well, after the American Revolution, settlers wanted to come into this western land, and it was owned by several tribes, and the settlers were rushing in, putting pressure on, and the natives were successfully resisting. The United States itself was a new country. One of the big misconceptions is that we were always John Wayne charging into the room.
Yeah.
No, at this point in history, we're more like the new kid on the block who is small, skinny, has glasses, and asthma.
And maybe a little scared.
A little scared. And everybody thought they could pick on him.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the Native Americans, the misconception is that they were always like backward, and they were a very successful culture. They had a successful economy, and they trashed the first two armies George Washington sent against them. They were holding their own until Fallen Timbers.
Wow, right.
So at Fallen Timbers, the United States established itself as a presence to be reckoned with. We sent an army, a professional army, 200 miles into the wilderness, defeated an enemy, made fun of the British, and then had a drink and went home.
Okay.
And it became sort of the American identity.
I love the idea of the U.S. being the scrawny kid that no one really took seriously yet until this battle, when we apparently entered our John Wayne era.
For the Native Americans, it was the beginning of the end, because after this, every battle is defensive. Mm-hmm. They're pulling back and they're fighting defensive actions. Even Little Bighorn, the Americans were attacking a village, they were defending a village. They're not mounting armies and going into the field anymore. I sometimes say the Trail of Tears begins at Fallen Timbers, because removal and dispossession of the Native Americans begins here.
Okay.
It also stopped English and Spanish ambitions in the area, because they thought the Americans were not real. They had ambitions, particularly the English. That halted it. It was a little bit of War of 1812, it flared up again, but English ambition stopped. A turning point for the French Canadians, we call them Canadian, but they were French Americans who lived throughout this area, who were not sure who they were allied with, the new Americans or the English Empire, and nobody really liked them and they didn't like anybody, so they had to figure out their own way.
Okay.
They basically stuck with the Native Americans until Fallen Timbers and their course changed. It changes the course of history for everyone.
Wow.
And this small battle took about less than 2 hours, fewer than 100 killed, but it changes the world for everyone involved.
Would you say that this battle is not as well known as it should be? I mean, I'm not from this area, but I've lived here since 2018, and I have not, I've heard of it, but I haven't learned nearly enough, so.
It's the most important battle that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Some people, historians, ranked it third in American history in strategic importance. First in importance is Yorktown, because we won our independence. Gettysburg, because we held together. And Fallen Timbers, because we established a national identity and we established ourselves as a nation. Prior to this, we were basically states. We were people from New York, people from Virginia, Pennsylvanians, New Jerseyans. We didn't think of ourselves as Americans or members of the United States.
Yeah, not
you. Fallen Timbers, we start welding together a real national identity. We also start the myth of the rugged frontiersman soldier.
What first interested you in this battle in particular? Do you remember learning about it and deciding, oh, I really want to delve into that and write a book about it?
this battlefield was only discovered in 1995.
Yeah.
Prior to that, we didn't know where it was.
Okay.
And then in late 90s, early 2000s, it was threatened by development. And I got involved as partly because they talked about paving it and building it, things out here. And I'm like, oh, hell no.
I respect how spicy Dave gets about the development conflict. This story involves two battles, the fight to preserve history being one of them.
What were they trying to build out here?
Well, at one point, a prison.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
They want to put the shopping center here. Mommy wanted housing because Mommy is landlocked and has housing issues.
But once
it was determined that this really important battle happened here, a lot of us felt like, no, that takes priority.
Yeah. And did it take a lot of doing to mobilize and push back against that? Like, how big of an ordeal was that?
It still takes a lot of doing. It's okay. Still ongoing.
Wow. Really? Even though there's an established park here?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Well, I want to go back to what you said about the big change for Native Americans in this area. Can you tell me more about the tribes involved in this battle and why was it such a significant moment for their way of life? I know you touched on that a little bit.
There were about a dozen tribes represented here that day. And at times there was as many as 17 tribes involved in the Miami Confederacy or the Northwest Indian Confederacy. The primary with the Miami and the Shawnee were the most militant. There's also the Delaware and the Ottawa, Potawatomi. And I'm going to forget some here. And and the Wyandotte.
Okay.
The Wyandotte took heavy, heavy losses here. And a lot of them were traditional enemies, but they bound together to stop this American aggression, to try and protect their lands.
And when you think about your research on this battle, what historical characters lived the largest in your mind and why?
It changes. Because there's new research coming up.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I'm always finding out about somebody else. I mean, I just found an account from the Miami tribe in Oklahoma, and they talk about an Ottawa chief named Ogushawa. There is no translation for that.
Okay.
Ogushawa.
Yeah.
And it turns out he was like 68 years old the day of the battle, and leading his Indians, he led a feint, drew the Americans in, and then maintained contact. And this 68-year-old guy fought the entire battle until he was shot in the face.
Oh my gosh.
He survived, but he lost an eye. But it's like, okay, this guy.
I mean, it's amazing to survive being shot
man,
in the face.
Yeah. As an older man, I like this guy.
He's a tough one. Oh my gosh. So we talked a lot about the history of the park, and you mentioned the development that, you know, people were attempting to make happen here. But I also heard that it was used for farming for a while before it became a developed park.
One of the beauties of this site is it was never developed. There were houses along Jerome Road.
Okay.
But the rest of this was farmed and timbered, so it was never developed. It was a farm up until the 90s.
Oh, right, okay.
When the archaeology was done, and they determined that this was the site of the battle, and they got the Metro Park stepped in and it got protected. But up until then, it was farmed. There were soybeans up here in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
At one point, there was a strawberry farm out here.
Oh.
You know, I'm told that. And then when we first started coming out here, you could still find volunteer strawberries coming up in the spring out in the cleared
areas.
Oh,
that's really neat.
Which is cool.
That's cool. We're walking over a bridge right now. This is a really charming spot.
I'd like to call your attention to the trail and the bridge. The bridge is the only built structure in the park. And they did archaeology before they put the supports in.
Okay.
So they wouldn't disturb anything.
Wow.
Because everything at happened here, every round that was shot, every body, everything that was dropped is still here, so it's important to protect it.
Yeah.
You'll see the trail winds because it's laid over the ground. Mm. There was no digging, and even the interpretive signs are built on, they put a slab of rock down and put the poles in the rock, so there's no digging or disturbing.
Wow.
So if anybody wants to come back and do archaeology at some point in the future or do new methods, it's preserved.
Yeah, so it doesn't hinder future research.
It doesn't disturb remains or information that's here.
Right, and just also a very respectful treatment. And so the Metro Parks has been involved since the beginning of this being a historic site, right?
Since the beginning.
Establishing it,
yeah.
And what were the kind of things they were finding when they first started doing archaeological digs to help
people learn? Well, the first day, Dr. Pratt did the dig and did the research in 1995.
Okay.
And the first thing he found was a bayonet out here in the woods.
Oh, wow.
The bayonet is particular to a type of musket that Wayne's army carried, a 1763 French Charleville. So it definitely identified this as part of Wayne's army.
Mm-hmm.
Not every time you find a gun or shot, there are people who say, oh, that's a hunting. That's from hunting, or that's civilian use.
Okay.
Nobody's hunting rabbits with a bayonet.
Okay, yeah, true. That makes sense. Even I would know that, I think.
And then they found shot. They found out in the areas that were open, which was the bean field at the time, they found about, I think, over 1,000 spent shells of bullets, and they can tell from the type of bullet which side fired it.
Okay.
Because the Indians were using different stuff than the Americans, okay. And the Army, the sharpshooters were using something else again. They also found very significantly, and we won't tell you where, but they found button clusters.
Oh.
From nitrogen from farming, whether it's animal manure or modern nitrogen, will eat hair and bone.
Okay.
But it's easier on metal.
Uh-huh.
So they found like 6-7 sites where there were button collections, shirt, jacket, vest, trousers,
mm-hmm.
which indicates, like the archaeologists will say, we're like 90%, the historians will say 90% sure this is the remains of a soldier killed in action. I can tell you, I was a journalist, I tell you, that is the remains of somebody killed in action.
Yeah.
And they were found on about 7 sites,
mm-hmm.
you know, which definitely nailed this as the battle site.
Yeah, oh my gosh, wow, that's incredible, putting all the pieces together. How often do you visit this park now, and how has your research changed, you know, being here in person frequently?
I'm out here quite a bit, maybe once a month, it seems like. It depends on the program schedule.
Okay.
Not so much in the winter,
mm-hmm.
but and then, you know, if we're having a program or doing something out here with the Metro Parks, I might be out here a couple times a week.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Otherwise, it can go a couple months. But I'm, yeah,
right.
I think I've been out here, I was trying to count, I think this is 5th or 6th time I've been out here this year.
All right. Yeah, so pretty regularly. And that actually leads me to my other question about opportunities for people to be immersed in the history of this place. It sounds like there are events and programming, so.
Through the Metro Parks.
Okay.
And some of the local history organizations do events,
uh-huh.
but they are sanctioned by the Metro Parks, so you always need to check with the Metro Parks. They have to be very careful. The tribes are very involved, the native people, and they have feelings about what is done here, too. They're dead or out here. It's a sacred site, and so it's like they don't allow battle reenactments, for instance.
Okay.
Because they find that disrespectful to be doing a battle reenactment over the bodies.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, so really,
and they don't like ghost hunting. They hate that.
Yeah,
it's like the spirits are here.
Uh-huh.
They're dead. Leave them in peace. Mm-hmm. Don't be poking them and disturbing them.
Yeah. So really, any of the events or programming that go on here, it's kind of approved or
the Metro Park oversees.
Yeah. Right. And make sure that that's okay with the tribes.
Yeah.
Okay, I also want to talk about the natural beauty of this park and what inspires you most to spend time here. I mean, obviously there's the history, but how do you feel when you're out here?
This is a very cool place to be. I've always liked, been an outdoorsman. I like the woods, and this is a nice woods. It's also, you know, you can't escape the fact that a battle happened here.
Right.
It's one of the few battlefields you can walk on. And it's very much like it was that day.
Yeah.
Which is a neat feeling all itself.
Yeah, it strikes me as we walk down this trail, this is the most peaceful, maybe, of the parks that we visited. And they all have been really wonderful in their own way. But I've seen just a couple of runners go by us. And you could really hear all the sounds of the birds and the trees moving a little bit. And I just think it's really peaceful.
Yeah, it's very reflective, and it's a nice park to remember what happened here, and you can mm-hmm. kind of feel it, you know, if you're sensitive enough. There are people who have experiences out here with the spirits, but I'm not going to go into that.
And for visitors who want to delve into the history of the park when they visit, I mean, there are the events and programming, but what do you hope are the main takeaways for anyone that comes here?
First of all, the native presence. The native people were strong, they were here, and they still are around.
Mm-hmm.
There is a myth that we killed them all and they're gone, and they don't like that. They're still around, and they like to be recognized as being in existence. First is the native presence, what happened to them here. Secondly, you need to review that this is probably the birthplace of the U.S. Army. This is the first major campaign under the Constitution, first one they won, you know, first regular army. It is the start for a lot of things. Thirdly, I'd like people to get a feel for what the time was like and what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We got too much Daniel Boone. They weren't running around in coonskin caps dodging arrows. The Native Americans had guns,
mm-hmm.
and they were very good with them. And nobody's wearing a coonskin cap in August, so we need to look at real history in terms of and look at the country here, get a feel for where we came from.
Mm-hmm. All right, so tell me about what we're looking at right now.
That is a point of the original forest. Where we're standing was bean field. in the 90s. And this has been a landmark. It's going to disappear because Metro Parks are reintroducing native species, mm-hmm. and this is filling in. But for now, that is a very good locator of where the artifacts were found and where the combat line actually occurred, right off the point of those trees.
Okay.
There were a lot of projectiles found and the firing lines were established. So it is kind of important to still be able to see this, you know, and the button clusters were out there. I'm not going to say where,
yeah.
you know, but this is a very good reference point to still have. We won't have it for long.
Yeah, wow. It's beautiful to be able to see it right now. Well, thank you so much for taking a walk with me and telling me about the history of this park. It's wonderful. I'm going to make this a regular part of my Metro Parks walks.
Okay.
We also happen to have a surprise guest for this episode, my good friend Wendy, who you all might remember from our longevity episode in Wildwood Metro Park. I thought she would appreciate learning about the history of this park, so I invited her along to listen to my conversation with Dave.
So, Wendy, I'm really glad that you got to come along with me today on my very first visit to this park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, I have visited here many times when I worked over on Monclova Road at the orthodontist.
Oh, okay.
So I would come here and eat lunch and go for a walk.
Oh, perfect.
Because you could always be in the shade.
Yes.
Until you went in the part that wasn't in the shade.
Right, but this was a really nice long stretch
of shade
through here. Yeah.
Very nice.
That's a good point. That's a good lunch break right there.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that this is a national park affiliate.
I did not know that.
I know that you are a national park visitor.
Yes.
So, yeah, and did you used to have a passport or think you might get one again?
Hopefully I'll get one in the future. It's luckily, your mother-in-law has the national park. So,
That's right.
The past. So, I've been places with her.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you can get a stamp from this one,
yeah,
which is really
awesome.
Cool.
And I did not know that.
Yeah, me either. So, I've learned so much about this. What did you think about the history? How much, you visited this park a lot, but how much did you know about the history?
What Dave talked about were things I did not know.
Yeah.
And they're not on the nice little placards that explain different things around the park.
Yeah, more in depth.
Oh my goodness, the idea that the Native Americans and the soldiers' bodies, there's bodies
yes.
here that had disintegrated over the years and everything, that was amazing to me.
Uh-huh.
I really, really appreciated the slant on the Native Americans
mm-hmm.
because they're always undersold.
Yeah.
In every conflict, we're only looking at it one way.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think
and
that's true.
It was great to hear about trying to join together and try to keep their land,
yeah.
you know. So
right, like that
awesome.
Perspective is really important to look at. And it's really heartening to know that there are local tribes that still
yes.
are very involved in knowing what's happening with this land and
right.
You know, being consulted about it. I think that's wonderful. And also, yeah, the idea of this being like a sacred spot and like you said, that people are still here. There are bodies here from that battle. I mean, I don't mean to sound woo-woo, but I can feel it, you know, it feels.
There's a lot of energy here.
It feels, yeah.
There's a lot of energy here.
Yes.
And it is just such a deep green and brown here, you know.
Yeah, right. It's beautiful.
The thick trees. Yeah, I thought it was,
yeah.
it was so great hearing those different items brought up that I would have never known.
Yeah.
Except you said he wrote a book?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And that was, what's the book?
The Battle of Fallen Timbers, A Change of Worlds.
Okay.
So
okay,
I definitely want to read it. I read about it.
Absolutely.
And it sounds really fascinating. And you can tell that there's a lot of emphasis on what happened with the Native American tribes
right.
and the
right.
whole history, so
yes.
yeah.
And boy, when he listed the three major battles, I would have had no idea
yeah.
that something that took place in Ohio would be in one of the top three. So
yes.
that was so interesting.
Yeah, such a major change. Yeah, I wonder how many people visit this park. I mean, there are placards that you can learn about what happened, but you know, without really delving into all this stuff, it makes me want to learn more about it, and it makes me so appreciate being in this area that I'm, you know, still somewhat new to. And there's so much I still have to learn, you know?
Right. I'm just so happy. The thought that it stayed, you know, it was logged and it was farmed, but it wasn't paved over.
Yes.
Because that gives us a chance to try to capture some of these remnants from the past and make sense of what actually happened, how it all went down, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah, and the fact that this was established in 1995, I believe you said, and that there was this sort of battle between, like, you know, urban development and preserving this, I thought that that was another really riveting part of what he said.
It makes you realize in today's world when, you know, you hear about national park sites being kind of dismantled because there's something there that, you know, might
maybe
be
isn't pleasant.
Or interest to someone to make money out of whatever reason. Mm-hmm. These green spaces are crucial to life. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thrilled that the Metro Parks have developed and conserve. It's just awesome.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming along with me. It's nice to process it afterwards with you.
This was awesome.
Yeah.
The phrase that stuck with me most from my conversation with Dave is, "The Trail of Tears begins at Fallen Timbers." That is a powerful statement as to the significance of this battle for Native peoples. In less than 2 hours, this battle, right in our backyard, changed the course of our nation's history. For it to be considered by many historians to be one of the three most strategic battles in U.S. history, I think it's safe to say it doesn't get nearly enough time in our history classes. Walking through the Fallen Timbers Battlefield Metro Park, I felt a reverence for what happened there, along with an appreciation for its beauty. I'd like to thank my guests, Dave Westrick and Wendy DeBoard, for joining me on today's episode. Thanks as well to our production team, MR Herner and Chris Pfeiffer, and a special thanks to Scott Carpenter of Metro Parks Toledo. A Walk in the Park With is a collaboration between Metro Parks Toledo and WGTE Public Media. You can find our episodes at wgte.org/walkinthepark or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host and producer, Aaron Holden. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.